Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your newsfeed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are continuing to reflect upon this glorious, glorious concept of being in Christ. What does it mean to be united with Christ? But before we get to that, let me just thank you again for those of you who've dropped us a rating and review and subscribed to this podcast. It means so much. I'm so glad we can have these conversations week by week. And what a great thing it is. And thank you for that. Let me just say that this concept of union with Christ is so important. It's over 200 times does it come up in the New Testament, whether it be in Christ Jesus, in Him. It's just easily overlooked. But when you let it, just kind of let your heart meditate on the implications of this truth, you find that the people that hype it up so much, those theology guys, they're right. Because this is a very important and life-changing concept for us to get our arms around. So it's worth circling back and thinking a little bit more carefully and a little bit more deeply, pulling out our theology books, if you will, and hearing what the smart guys have to say about some of these things. Well, let me just paint a picture in our minds as we kind of walk into this. And it's the picture of the tree trunk and the branches. Now, in Georgia, it's springtime, and the trees are blooming and flowering and all of that, kind of some of those trees where the flowers come out first and then the leaves follow. It's such a great indication that spring is upon us. Well, what is the relationship of the tree trunk to the branches? Well, of course, there's a vital relationship. There's life. The branches are alive because the tree trunk is sending nutrients to the branches, giving the branches the strength that they need by holding on to the tree trunk. And they're distinct from each other, obviously. You don't want to confuse the branches and the tree trunk. They're distinct, and yet they're connected in a vital way. Well, Jesus uses this exact illustration of the believer's relationship with Him when He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." We get our life from Jesus. We get our strength from Jesus. He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But of course, in that other place, we are so grateful to know that through Christ, we can do all things in Philippians 4. And wonderful truth, wonderful reality. So it's a worthwhile for us to spend some time thinking about it. So as I kind of compile different theology books, here's the basic meaning of union with Christ. all of the benefits of our right relationship with God occur because we are connected to Jesus. God looks at us in union with Christ. In his mind from eternity past, and in actuality as we are baptized into the body of Christ in the Holy Spirit at salvation, our future with him is also secured and given to us based on being in him. Wow, there's so much in those sentences. But I mean, it seems like, okay, that sounds a little too good to be true. All the benefits of our right relationship with God occur because we are connected to Jesus. But it's absolutely right. You, in and of yourself, are not the beneficiaries of the riches that the Lord provides. But when God puts you in him, when God chooses you in him, when God saves you and baptizes you into the body of Christ, then there's the adoption. Then there's all of the great things that we have because of this union with Christ. Now, last couple of times, we were walking through Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 and just skipping through those chapters, really not even spending a ton of time, but there were so many references to being in Christ in those passages. It was worth our consideration. In the past, we were chosen in him before time began. In the future, we die in Christ. We're resurrected in Christ. We have our inheritance in Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. And 2 Timothy 2:12 says, we will reign with Christ in eternity future. That's not just Ephesians 1 and 2, but that sprinkles a few other references that we looked at last time as well. Well, in the here and now, you and I who believe in Jesus are in vital union with Jesus Christ right now. And we just want to say that makes a difference, right? If you were not united with Christ right now, what would life be like? Yes, you would still be in your sins. Yes, you would be separated from God and separated from his blessings. But you would also be separated from his power to walk in a way pleasing to the Lord. All of those things, again, come from our union with Christ. We would also, if we didn't have Christ, if we weren't united with him, what hope would we have for the future? Okay, so this makes a difference. But before we zero in on some of those practical differences, I need to offer a couple of clarifications, okay? Union with Christ does not mean that we're kind of in a new agey nirvana blending into the God force of the universe. It's not a confusion of persons. So you're still you and Jesus is still Jesus, okay? That's important to say. But you and Jesus are in union with each other. Okay, now another clarification. It doesn't just mean that, okay, we both like the same things. We're kind of united in our hearts, our common interests, things like that. I think I used the illustration last time of Manchester United, right? My favorite soccer team in England. It's like, okay, we're all united around our favorite team. And here in the Atlanta area, we have a team also called Atlanta United, which would be my favorite team in the MLS, the soccer team here in the United States, or the soccer league, I should say, in North America. It's not just we're united around our favorite team. It's not just like a Mozart society that we would all say, oh, yes, we all love Mozart, but that's all we've got in common. No, our union with Christ is not just a common interest in the things of God. It's a bigger, deeper deal than that. It is spiritual. It is a mystery according to the Bible. So it's not just a simple math equation. Theologian Robert Raymond puts it like this, but the scriptures make it clear that though it is spiritual and mystical, this non-material union with Christ is as real as though there were, in fact, a literal umbilical cord uniting them, reaching all the way from Christ in heaven to the believer on earth. An umbilical cord? Like the baby and the placenta are connected, where the baby's getting life and nutrients through this cord? Through the nutrients supplied by the mother's body, and that baby is absolutely dependent on this cord. And Robert Raymond is saying, it's like we have a cord to heaven, all the way from heaven to earth, because we are united with Jesus. So this makes a really big difference. This is going to change things. I mean, I think it is a helpful thought, you know, to say, okay, suppose the cord is cut, you know, I'm going to just snip the cord, right? I had the opportunity to snip the cord when one of my daughters was born, and you're there in the hospital room and you go, okay, what are we doing here as the guy? And so it was really, the whole thing was a beautiful experience, but you go, all right, what if our cord was cut from Jesus, right? We don't believe you can lose your salvation. True believers can't lose their salvation. Yes, we're responsible to persevere, but if we could, and that cord was cut today, oh, how our lives would be wrecked. You might think, well, I could keep going for a minute or two, but really, the only reason you wouldn't be horrified by such a proposition is the fact that we don't rightly appreciate the significance of all that we have because of our union with Christ. So we want to take a break, and we're going to look at that a little bit more in detail about some of the practical here and now benefits of our union with Christ. I mentioned last time that I needed you to give me enough ratings and review to be more than Adam Tyson in the Way of Manhood. My friend and fellow Fortis podcaster with his wonderful podcast for young men. And we are far and away beating Adam in the rating and reviews. But there's a problem. There's another Fortis podcast. We need to excel still more. So come back after the break and I'll tell you about that.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment, who continues his series on the union with Christ. And while Dr. Crotz has you thinking today, I want to talk to you about something a little more practical, and that would be the Fortis Plus app. If you haven't downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet, you are really missing out on the kind of teaching that you're hearing each and every week here on Integrated with Dr. Crotz, and also from all of our other fellows, hundreds of hours of content, audio and video content that is available on Fortis Plus right now. And it's all absolutely free of charge. I'm talking about from people like Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel. And that's just the tip of the iceberg on the amount of content that you're going to find at Fortis Plus. And again, it's all absolutely free. And the reason that it's free is because of you, men and women just like you, who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they've decided to stand with us and link arms with us. And that might be you. And if it is, you can get more information about what that would look like in your life right now to join us at fortisinstitute.org, as long as you're already faithfully giving to your local church. That's our one caveat. We don't want you to give to our ministry if you're not faithfully giving to your local church, because that is honestly your number one giving priority. So get all of your questions answered right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. We are continuing to reflect and open our hearts and open our minds to what the Bible says about our union with Jesus Christ. I told you before the break that there was another Fortis podcast that we need to kind of compete a little bit on our ratings and reviews, and it is called Thrive by Brad Bigney. It's all about applying the Bible to your life as a husband and wife. It's marriage issues And wow, is it a help. And I certainly would commend it to you, but I want you to give us a rating and review, you know, so that if people compare, they might see that Integrated has a couple more reviews, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, just kidding. We love those guys, and it is a blessing to be part of the Fortis family together. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. When you are saved, you are united with Jesus. You are baptized in water, of course, as a symbol of our union with Christ and the death and burial and resurrection. And spiritually, we are baptized. We are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we are united with him. One of the big implications, one of the big things that is affected by that union with Christ at the moment of our salvation is this identification with Jesus' death and resurrection. Wayne Grudem, the theologian, says, this expression, our dying and rising with Christ, explains the change that the Holy Spirit brings about in our character and personality when we become Christians. In other words, the Holy Spirit produces the effects of Jesus' death and resurrection in us when we believe in Christ. We can become so unresponsive to the pressures, demands, and attractions of our previous sinful way of life that Paul can say we are dead to them because we are in Christ. And I know if you're like me, you say, well, that doesn't feel like that. My remaining sin feels very much alive, and I have to work day by day to remind myself of my position in Christ and consider myself dead because of my position in Christ. Well, that's the right thing to do. And you can do that. And you're not just making it up. You're not just saying, I think I'm dead. I think I'm dead. I think I'm... No, it's you are because of your union with Jesus. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, Paul says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. So he was talking about the old covenant law and how God's standard shows us our sin because we never can measure up to what God says, but now we're dead to that. That's not our standard, and that's not our manner of life anymore. We're not just trying to gin up strength to obey God's commandments. No, we are dead to our sin and alive to Christ, and we can serve him in that new life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, very familiar passage there, which is in the context of justification, but we also see implications for sanctification or our Christian growth. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I missed that first part. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God for that. We have been united with Jesus in his death. It is as if your sin was on the cross with Jesus, and it is dead, like Jesus was literally dead in his humanity. As he died on the cross that day we commemorate on Good Friday, and of course he was raised again on what we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday or Easter. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And one more in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used according to human precepts and teachings? These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You are dead. You don't have to submit to man-made rules and regulations anymore. You don't have to try to do legalistic obedience anymore. You are dead because you are united with Jesus. And as he died on the cross, the benefits of that death are applied to you. And in addition to that, we also have the power of the resurrection of Jesus. You find yourself wanting to serve God much more, and you find yourself able to serve him with so much greater power and success, so much so that we are called alive to God because we are raised with Christ. And we saw some of these verses last time in Romans chapter 6, but it's just great to be reminded of again and again. Romans 6, 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are so grateful to God for this wonderful reality. Because of this union with Christ in his death and resurrection, you have new, real power to say no to sin and yes to Jesus, yes to righteousness, yes to obedience. And there is something to be said for going into your spiritual battle with this kind of mindset, this kind of mentality. This is where, you know, when you go into something, I mean, you know, sports psychologists sometimes talk about, you know, almost just a winning attitude, a winning mindset. Come on, you need to think of yourself as a winner. But again, based on what? I mean, these are some of the greatest athletes in the world. So there is a real basis for some of those guys to think, yeah, I'll be able to hit the ball and crush it, right? So there's some reality in that. It's not just empty mindset, right? If you're the little kid before puberty and you get out there on the varsity football team, I don't think much mindset. It doesn't matter even if you're Rudy, right? Remember that movie? You're not going to be able to have enough positive mindset that is going to, you know, be able to triumph against grown men who are wanting to throw you to the ground and crush you. But listen, when it comes to your battle with sin, and it comes to my battle with sin, we're not just making this up. We are based on the authority of the Word of God saying, I am united with God. I am united with Jesus Christ. God put me there so that I am dead to this sin. I don't have to sin. And no, I am alive with Jesus. I have power to obey. I have godly self-control that was never there before. I can say no to sin. Now, that does not mean you want to walk up to sin and challenge it. I still think Joseph was doing the right thing when Potiphar's wife kept going. He just said, let's just get out of here, right? Clear the room, all right? But even that, how did he have the strength to do that, right? He was sort of a believer ahead of time before Jesus suffered and died on the cross. And I think God gave him that supernatural power that we experience as well. You can say no to sin. You can walk away from sin. You are not trapped because you are united with Jesus Christ. If you have repented of your sin and believed in him who died on the cross and rose from the dead, God says you are saved. You are united with him, and that has powerful implications for your life today. So don't just hear these things. Let's be doers of God's word, united with Jesus Christ.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.